Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You can relax. Colleen and Eric have a podcast. The world is scary and we're locked in our home. But now we have big microphones. So you can relax. That's the name of our podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Relax, the podcast. I'm Colleen Ballinger.
I am Eric Stockland.
And we are the parents of three children. We have so much to fill you guys in on this
week. What have you been up to?
We missed you guys last week.
Something going on?
Well, first we should start off the episode with a bump check.
Oh, really? Do it.
There ain't no bump no more. Babies have been evicted my stomach.
That's funny, love.
And we are going to get into all of the nitty gritty details.
Evicted?
They moved out.
Yeah.
They preemptively moved out, you know? They didn't wait till their lease
was
over.
It was on their own accord, or at least one of their own accords.
Yeah. And we'll get into all that.
No cord, pun intended.
We'll get into it. Let's talk about who needs to relax.
Okay. Why not? Everything's normal. So let's just be normal.
You might see that we're in a new location if you're watching the podcast today. And that is because our house is in shambles because we just had baby twins. And their room is being redone, and also Flynn's room is being redone. And so our podcast room is currently
their room's not being redone,
bedroom.
It's being done.
It's being done, period.
Yeah.
And Flynn's room is currently the podcast room. So we are in the garage.
Yeah, we are in our garage. It's us, a water heater.
Mm-hmm. A vacuum cleaner.
A bunch of trash.
And a lot of haters.
I wish
back
we could
off.
Spin the camera to just show.
You don't want to know.
A giant mountain of trash.
So who needs to relax this week for me?
Speaking of garages, you're going?
Oh, do you want to go? I can go. I'll go first. Mine'll be quick.
Okay, mine'll be quick as well.
Okay. Who needs to relax this week for me is our adorable, sweet, amazing, cuddly little son, Wesley Coy Stockland.
You're already throwing him under the bus?
He's got to relax, man.
What are you doing?
He broke his freaking water 8 weeks early.
I was going to say, he seems pretty relaxed
he
over there.
He is relaxed over of the two of them. Mm-hmm. He's the more relaxed one. But he needed to relax. And that's all he had to do.
But since he...
Literally all he had to do was relax.
He couldn't
and
do
he
it.
And he was like, nah, I'm going to kick this water right open and just explode your lives right now.
Yeah, he broke the bag early, didn't he?
He sure did. So he doesn't need to relax now. He's very relaxed. He's like the chillest baby in the world, but he needed to relax.
What's funny is that for the past couple months, he's literally just been punting at that thing right down there.
Oh, he's been trying to get out this whole time.
Like the whole time. We just thought it was like, oh, baby kicking, but
he was
literally
legit
trying to the shining, here's Johnny, get out of there. And he did.
He sure did.
He won. And his entrance is our... we're figuring it out, aren't we?
I don't know. Where am I? What's happening? Who's your relax this week, love?
I don't know. You went with our new son. I went with parking garages.
Well, that has to do with our new son. We're in a parking garage every single day.
We are in a parking garage every single day, which means that I've discovered a new thing that I absolutely hate. I think there are two
parking garages?
Yeah. Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, I feel like it's a beneficial thing for society. You know, there are so many cars. We have to park them somewhere. Mm-hmm. But my specific thing is that I believe that there are two different types of people on this planet.
Okay.
There are the people who prepay their tickets for parking garages and the people that are like, screw everyone else on the planet. Mm-hmm. I am a total jerk and I will figure it out when I get up to the thing.
You do know that you were that person today, right?
I am only that person. No, I am not that person.
You were today is what I'm saying.
No, I didn't want to wait in line to have it validated. And I knew that they would let us just out with the because we are NICU parents. Mm-hmm. It's something that I always thought would be a title of mine. I'm not that person.
I'm just saying you were today. We had to push the buzzer at the parking thing.
I know, but there was nobody behind me and they let us right out because they know us there because we're there every day. But people that that don't prepay it and then hold up the line. And it seems like it happens almost every time I've ever left any parking garage ever. Does this not constantly happen to you?
Yeah, I guess it does happen. Yeah, it does.
There's a machine that you pass on the way to the parking spaces. Pay the scanner, pay the ticket. Wait, you're in a rush. So you're like, oh, I'll just pay it at the gate. But then it's just not any faster and you're holding up the line for everybody.
I hear you. I hear you.
I feel like you're not. I feel like you're certainly not on my side with this. You've just been mocking me.
I loved waiting in line. I am so on your side.
There's nowhere you want to get out of faster than a parking garage.
I will say that there have been many times where I got to my car and was like, ugh, I have to go pay this parking ticket thing.
Right,
and you get out of your car and go, it's annoying.
Oh, I've certainly been like, I'm not getting out.
Oh, see, so you are that person.
I'm not that person.
It sounds like you might be, Lovey. Did you look up facts about parking garages?
Well, this is a Relax Podcast, and now I do my research. I don't want to seem uneducated. Did you know where the first parking garage was invented?
I'm going to guess.
And when? Yeah, what year?
I'm going to guess. Oh, what year?
What year the first multi-level parking garage was invented?
1957.
1916.
Really?
Yeah. You want to guess where?
New York? Toronto?
No. No.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago?
Yeah.
LaSalle Hotel
in Chicago. Do you want to guess how many parking spaces there are in America?
In America?
Yeah. How many parking spaces do you think there are?
Oh, geez. I literally have no idea.
There are 800 million to 2 billion parking stalls in all of the United States.
Excuse me to yawn, but that's a very wide range.
That's 3 to 8 stalls per every registered vehicle.
But that's like a really wide, that's like saying like between 1 and 7 million.
Who's really keeping track of this?
Like they could have said anything. I'll believe it, but that's really wide. You know how many a billion is?
How much is a parking space worth in Los Angeles? Like a month?
What?
Like what's the average monthly cost of a parking space in Los Angeles?
Like when you mean if you get a bunch of parking tickets?
Yeah, if you're paying for parking, like if you have a parking space in a garage. $200.
Okay. $200?
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm just stating facts.
Wait, it's $200 to park in Los
Angeles? Like a month is the average for owning a parking space in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And then how much do you think is the average that every Los Angelino has paid in parking tickets?
Ooh.
What is the medium that people have accrued over?
$200.
$5,000.
What? You just made that up.
I didn't make it up.
The internet made it up. A singular person pays in parking tickets is $5,000.
The cost of Los Angeles parking tickets averages to over $5,000 per resident.
What? That cannot be true.
I'm reading it off the internet. It's certainly true.
But how much money do you think you've paid in parking tickets? Because I feel like I've probably paid
in my lifetime, probably $5,000.
No way. Certainly, where are you parking?
In college, I had a really bad apartment near, I don't know, it was really horrible to park at my college and everyone got parking tickets constantly, myself included.
Sorry, I'm yawning in your
face. Then when I was in college, I just assumed, you just don't have to, it was like jury duty. You just ignore it. You know what I mean?
Love.
And then when I first moved to LA, I built up this immunity to parking tickets. I was like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I had no money to pay them. And what are they going to do? Well, they impounded my car. And then it was $2,000 to get a car out of impound. That was, I don't think the car was even worth $2,000.
Hmm. You make great choices.
I will say that I have a good credit score now and have zero debt.
I know.
Well, maybe not anymore after...
After what?
In the past couple of weeks.
Oh, come on. I know. I'm terrified to know how much the NICU stay is going to be. Oh,
well, just all of it is times two, isn't it?
It was times two everything. And also, how much is an emergency C-section? I don't know how much this cost. In America. Our healthcare system is horrible and our healthcare is horrible.
Yeah. I generally have just abstained from all medical procedures. yeah. my entire life. To whereas now, yeah, people have been talking about that. I feel like I'm going to get hit in the face with it. Are you yawning, but keeping your mouth closed? That was so strange. You're like, I don't want to embarrass him. So I'll just,
because I have like, I don't have an excuse now, because when I was pregnant, I was like, I'm pregnant. I cannot help but yawn. I would do every episode. And I am not pregnant now.
And you're just going.
I'm just like.
Making the most strangest face I've ever seen. Yeah, there is so much now that mm-hmm. you can't get away with anymore, because we all know.
I can get away with more because faking. I am the mother of twins in a NICU pumping every 3 hours.
Yeah.
I can have whatever I want.
So yawn. So yawn, let it out.
I can have whatever I want, and so can you.
That's true.
We can do and say whatever we want because we are going through it. But, you know, I'm going back to this parking ticket thing. I'm shocked at how much you say the average American spends on parking tickets, because I really don't think I've ever spent more than like maybe $200 total on all the parking
tickets. Do you pay them on time?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't pay them on time.
Okay.
If I pay them at all. This is in the past. This is old Eric.
I have a way that I can help you save money.
This is little Eric.
I have a way to help you save money. You know, I can help you save money. And so you can pay off parking tickets if you just use Today Tix when you go see shows. Let's talk about our first sponsor.
I know Today Tix.
So do I.
I bought tickets up. Those are the kind of tickets I like.
I know they are. Yes. Let's talk about good tickets, not negative tickets, positive tickets. We love Today Tix. When we lived in New York City, because I was doing a Broadway show, Eric used Today Tix.
Naturally just slipped it in there that you did a Broadway show.
Well, I managed to
somehow in every conversation.
I try to bring it up as often as I can. You know, you would too. I feel like anyone
would.
Anyway, you got to see a couple Broadway shows using Today Tix. It makes it easy and quick, and you get great discounts.
You do.
It's really, really wonderful.
I did it same day.
Heck yeah, for Hamilton, y'all. Hamilton the Musical. So what is Today Tix? Today Tix is your one-stop shop for theater tickets with the best value on tickets to Broadway and beyond. Just download the app or visit todaytix.com to find a show you want to see. It's easy to use. Getting tickets is easier than ever. With the Today Tix app, you can check out in 30 seconds and get your tickets with ease. Yeah, like Eric said, he saw Hamilton the same day.
Don't be helpless. Use Today Tix.
You know what? I don't have the rights to that song. I'm not going to sing any more of it. But you know the song.
Pretty sure Hamilton is public domain.
Oh, please. you can book your tickets months in advance or even day of if you're feeling spontaneous and crazy like Eric here.
Always.
Today Tix gives you access to exclusive pre-sales, limited time offers, digital lottery programs to sold out shows, and day of discounted tickets. Today Tix isn't just for Broadway and London's West End. You can also find tickets in cities across the country and around the world, including Chicago, LA, DC, San Francisco, Sydney, and more. Take advantage of the best deals on theater this holiday season. You got to find some good gifts for this holiday season.
Oh.
Today Tix is going to hook you up. See that show you've always wanted to see or discover something new that you'll love just as much for even less this holiday season. Go to todaytix.com/relax and use promo code RELAX to get $10 off your first Today Tix purchase. That's promo code RELAX at todaytix.com/relax for an additional $10 off your first ticket purchase. todaytix.com/relax.
If we were in New York right now, mm-hmm. What show would you get a ticket to?
I really want to see Mrs. Doubtfire because Charity, who I did Waitress with, is in that. And so is my friend Mark, who's also in Waitress with me.
Is it getting good nods?
I think so. I mean, I think so because my friends
Doubtfire
are in
the
it.
Musical. Like, of
so, that's what I would go see. All right. So we had babies. And I just have to say, I'm psychic because the last episode we did.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I was 32 weeks, 30, I was, no wait, was I? I was, because did my water break the next morning?
Yeah, you were 32 weeks, yeah.
When we recorded that podcast,
yeah,
my water broke the next morning, right?
Yes, no, it broke hours, it broke, if we recorded it at 10 o'clock, it broke
11 hours after we recorded the last episode,
yeah.
So that episode, I was like, this might be the last time we ever do this. I didn't really believe that. Like, I really did think we'd have a while longer.
No, it was eerie. It's funny. We, so in the hospital, we had to like listen back to it. We had about 4 days just like, you know, staying at the hospital the whole time. And at some point we had to listen back to it. And it was so eerie, those moments of you implying that it was happening soon. And I remember in real time when you were saying that, it felt different because that whole day I've been saying, you're acting just like how you acted
the night before, right,
the night before Flynn was born. There was like a sense. It was in the atmosphere.
I feel like we both sensed it and we both like knew it was coming, but we didn't
deny it. Yeah. You bury that in your lizard brain.
Yeah. So
for
like
sure.
That last podcast we did, I kept saying like, this might be the last time. So I'm going to talk about being pregnant. And I'm going to talk about how hard this is. And I'm going to talk about crises because they could come any second. Not thinking that was actually true.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I manifested that and my water broke the next morning. And also there's other stuff I said in that podcast that was crazy. Like I said,
like what?
You know, the boy was now, we can say his name is Wesley. Mm-hmm. Wesley, I was like, he's just kicking. He's so strong. I can tell he is so strong by how he kicks me.
Yeah.
And I said in the podcast,
you said that in the-
yeah, I said, well, I said, if they were to come out right now, I know, I don't know about her, but I know he would be fine because he's so strong.
Yeah. You said that a bunch last week.
And that is exactly true because he came out
strange
and he was like, I mean, he was doing as good as he possibly could considering how early they were. Cause I was only 32 weeks pregnant. A full term pregnancy is 40 weeks, by the way. So they came eight weeks early.
He came out, was crying and didn't need help
breathing, which is huge.
He needs help with a lot of things now.
But he's like doing as good as he possibly could considering how young he is.
Yes.
Whereas Maisie, our daughter, she needed help.
She wasn't ready.
She was not ready. And she needed help breathing. And she still is like a week behind Wes. Like she's always been smaller than him. She's still in a closed, heated isolette, a little bed.
Sounds better than incubator.
And that's why I say isolette because like incubator sounds like a science
project.
For
the layman though.
It's their bed. Their little hospital bed.
Yeah.
So his is open, which means he's regulating his own body temperature. She's still got to be closed in there. I'll get in her nice little toasty warm.
Because apparently, because the goal here is for them to gain calories and eat on their own. Yeah. And they apparently regulating your own body temperature burns
a lot of calories.
And this is, this matters a great deal if you are a 3 pound something human being.
They're very tiny. They're very cute. All the stories have been told on my YouTube channels. I'm sure we'll get into a lot of it here, but I told the whole story on the internet.
You've already talked about this on the internet?
I have a YouTube channel.
I don't watch it.
But, you know, I've seen a lot of comments that have asked about the experience. More specifically, people have asked about the NICU experience from your perspective. And I thought that would be like something.
Who's your?
You,
who's
the Eric Stocklin. Because I talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
I talk about it, you know, in my vlogs on my main channel. I've talked about the birth and then I've talked about a lot about the NICU and how challenging and painful and heartbreaking it is. But, you know, obviously you are not a YouTuber.
Well, that's interesting. So you've talked to how many people you've talked to about this?
Well, the video about their birth, I think has over 5 million views.
Okay. So you talked to like
5 million people.
5 million people
the NICU stuff I talk about in my vlogs, my daily vlogs. So I've posted maybe 7-ish videos. Well, a couple weeks. So maybe more close to 10 to 14 videos since the babies were born. And I cry a lot about how hard it is to have babies in the NICU. And those get about 1 million views each. So there's a lot of people.
Is that what you're doing at the computer?
Yeah. But a lot of people are asking about you. So I wanted to,
well,
I want to kind of interview you
about it.
That's
an interesting dynamic in our relationship is that like you've talked intimately and publicly to
millions
of people about this profoundly traumatic, intimate, you know, family experience. And I've talked to, I'm not offended by this. Mm-hmm. So Jade, I love what you do. I think you're so incredible. I think you are like of a lot of people who share their lives publicly. I think you are, I mean, in my experience, like this supremely genuine and authentic, and it's so organic for you to share. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much about you. But
you're speaking so carefully. Like,
but I have talked to you about it.
Your parents.
My parents a little bit. Not like, I've talked to my parents about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now you're going to talk to everyone listening to the podcast.
I texted like a couple friends, like a status, mm-hmm. but certainly not like talked mm-hmm. about it other than to you.
I think there's a mosquito flying around.
There's
here.
One mosquito
and
in the garage.
I think it bit my chin because it's itchy. On
probably
my chin.
Knowing you, it for sure bit you. And within, and somehow there'll be a wound there.
Okay. Anyway, but I would love to hear, like, I mean, I know because we talk about it, but mm-hmm. One thing I don't think we talked about that much was we had an emergency C-section. So basically,
yeah, I mean, I can talk about it from my perspective.
I want you to. So
don't people want to hear your perspective though? You're saying they've already heard it.
I'm saying like, if you want to hear my perspective, you can. And this will be, I got it. Oh no, I didn't. Flew away. Dang it. Sorry, I just smacked Eric in the chest.
Thinking I think it was just like a cat hair floating. I don't think that was
a mosquito. Anyway, so we got to that. My water broke. We went to the hospital.
Yeah.
Long story short, from my perspective, we get there. They check on the baby's heart rates are good. We're going to keep you here for a couple days, Colleen, and give you medicine so that the baby's lungs are strong when we do a C-section, schedule it and get them out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great. And then they checked my cervix and saw that Wesley's umbilical cord was coming out the exit, which is very, very dangerous and could do worst case scenario to our baby. So we immediately were whisked to a operating room where we had an emergency C-section and out came babes. And yes. You can hear how I feel about that and my personal experience and thoughts all over my YouTube channels. But Stockland.
Whoa.
I think it would be awesome to hear your perspective of the whole situation.
Of course, yes. And call me Stocks. It's fine.
Call you Stocks? Okay, Stocks.
Some people call me in high school. Did you know that?
Yeah, Stocks and Bonds.
Just Stocks.
Oh, really? Okay.
Stocks
sorry.
And Bonds and a number was my AOL Instant Messenger name.
Yeah, mine was I'm a Cat Lover 13.
Of course it was.
So
this is in the canon. People know this about you.
So tell us, how is a C-section experience from your perspective?
Pretty shite. I as well, as has been talked about a lot with our doctor, that if your water breaks, what they're going to do is keep us there for 48 hours and pump you up with stuff to help them on their way out. But that would be I fully expected, even when, oh my gosh, your water broke. It's like, yeah, take your time. We're going to get there. And then we're going to like be there for 2 days to like mentally cope with like then having to go through the C-section and this early. And that sounded completely awful to have the 2 days of anticipation, but still, was somewhat comforting and manageable that like I would have that time to process and
that's what we were anticipating
and prepare somewhat. And then, so we rushed to the hospital and then we're running through the hospital with our doctor and we go to this room and then it's kind of like settled and you're happy. I'm happy. We've like got over the initial adrenaline. You know what I mean? And I'm like setting up our stuff, like figuring out what I happened to throw into two backpacks and a suitcase before we ran out the door. And our wonderful, amazing, incredible doctor is talking to you and this lovely nurse. And they're kind of going over that plan of 48 hours and all this. And I'm kind of across the room and we're in that room and there's then like a couple more nurses are in there. There's like four people in mm-hmm. and I can see in this moment I see the doctor kind of checking, like saying, oh, they're great, they're fine, I'm just gonna check this one last thing. And then I see her demeanor completely change, just like it mm-hmm. like her aura changed and mm-hmm. she whipped her head to one nurse, said something that sounded like the
cord prolapse. Yeah.
Charlie, well, to me in my ears, it was like white noise Charlie Brown character stuff, because mm-hmm. I could just tell it wasn't good mm-hmm. and I was like so on edge. And then at that moment, I could see you heard it and you looked mm-hmm. at me and I could just see you're wearing a mask. I just mm-hmm. see your eyes and I knew it wasn't good. And then everybody started moving really fast. And
do you remember what I said to you?
What'd you say?
I said, the babies are coming right now.
Right now. You said the babies are coming right now. And it's like, I feel like my intestines fell out my butt like in that moment. And then, all of a sudden, literally thrown at me was this plastic package that had like the over scrubs stuff, like mm-hmm. the stuff that like you've seen in pictures, the husbands, you know, mm-hmm. they wear like the blue hat and the thing that goes over your shirt and pants and like little booties. And then all these five or six other people rolling your bed, rushed you out of the room and down the hall. And they were like, stay here. We'll come and get you.
It was terrifying.
And so like all of this, like all that commotion, you know, all this commotion. And then all of a sudden I'm just in a hospital room, complete silence, alone. And I didn't know for how long.
They didn't tell you what was going on?
No, they just said, wait here. We'll come get you when it's happening. And you were just gone. Everyone was gone. I was completely alone.
Yeah.
Just in this strange hospital room on a Saturday morning. You know what I mean? And it was literally the longest 20 minutes of my life. Mm-hmm. And it was, I could just feel the anxiety and stress building. And in that moment, I think I was able to text your mother and text my mother that something, because I don't think anybody knew it was actually going to be happening right now. And I just wanted someone, like the point people in our families, to know, and then they could share if, the, you know.
I feel like I remember you FaceTiming your mom when my water broke. Did you? Did you call them and tell them that my water had broke?
I don't know if I, no, I don't think I would FaceTime them. I think I texted them.
God, everything's such a blur from that day. It was so weird.
And then, yeah, the longest 20 minutes, like I was, like I was obviously a different color when someone finally did come in to get me, because this nurse then, after the long, like I said, the longest 20 minutes of my life, and this, and I could feel like the blood going through my body and every hair on my body. I was freaking out. You know? And this young nurse who was lovely sprints into the room and it's like, okay, come on. And then she turned around and she sprinted out. So I was then
really,
then I you was, didn't tell me so this. Then I was running down really? A random hospital hall, like, I, you know what I mean? I've only seen this shit in like movie. Like, I don't, what's this?
You were, you ran
running in like really? The little blue slippery cloth booties
Shut
that
up.
Go over
you're
your
not
shoes.
Telling us.
And then they bring me into this room. And the way that they have it set up is that you're the half of you that I definitely don't want to see during this experience is facing the door.
Just so, naked?
I don't know, because I literally like just tunnel visioned down till I could get around the, you know, Wizard of C-section curtain and be like, I just wanted to be next to your face. I just want to be as close as I could and in your ear and like forehead to forehead and just be there with you. And it was all, so crazy, man. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I just hear, drink this. And I turn around and this nurse has like, what was like an apple cranberry juice?
Yeah, some sort of juice, because she, I remember her saying.
So after all that though, this nurse is to me like, drink this juice. And I was like, what is the juice? Why do I need juice?
I barely remember anything. It was all such a blur. I completely like kind of tried to black out. I remember trying to make myself feel numb because I was so petrified that you were not in the room with me. It was really scary getting like, just knowing I was about to be cut open. I didn't know what was going to happen and getting the drugs in my spine and all this stuff. And you weren't with me. It was mortifying. Like, it was so scary.
Yeah. And I'm sure nothing what I went through can compare to what.
Oh, I'm not saying that at all. I'm
side of the curtain.
No, I'm just saying that I barely remember much. And cause it was, I was just trying to block it out.
Well, when I got to you and I was just like, hey, I'm here, but you know, it's I remember that. Showtime. This is crazy. You were just like,
I was just staring.
You're just staring at a wall, and I could tell, like, you were like in the zone.
I was just
of
trying
zones.
Not to. I was trying not to have a panic attack.
I know. No, I know.
And so I was like,
I knew where you were, and I was just like, I'm just going to hold her head
That's
and put
I
my
wanted,
forehead
yeah.
to forehead, and just.
I do remember our doctor saying to me before you got in there, she's like, are you doing okay? Do you feel like you're going to faint or whatever? She's like, I just saw Eric. He looks like he's about to faint too.
She did say that. Mm-hmm.
And so like, that's why they got you juice, because they didn't want your blood sugar to drop and you to faint in the middle of all that. So they were trying
I feel like I've talked a lot about anxiety on this podcast in the past. Like, I never knew it was just like, oh, cranberry apple juice, like a little... little
who needs tinfoil
top, like, yeah.
Just to drink some cranberry juice. but you know what? Speaking of delicious things, I'm going to interrupt this story.
We were right. That was good ad placement. We were right at Showtime there.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsor, which is HelloFresh.
Nothing fresher than
C-sections. Yeah. HelloFresh. You guys, we love HelloFresh here on this podcast. We're so grateful they want to sponsor us yet again.
Coming in handy right now for sure.
Oh yeah, baby.
So I don't have to do everything and then go to the grocery store.
Yeah, we're gonna talk to you all about amazing HelloFresh. So what is HelloFresh? Well, let me tell you. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh offers convenient, contact-free delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make with steps and pictures to guide you along the way. That's one of my favorite parts is the pictures. Because I feel like sometimes it's hard when you just read the instructions to a recipe and you're like,
no.
Wait, how thick do I cut these things? How to, you know, like,
yeah.
How, what is this supposed to look like before I put it in the
oven?
No, I
need pictures.
Give me a picture,
books,
man.
Pictures.
Get into it.
When I'm not eating HelloFresh and I go to a restaurant, menu, better have pictures.
Oh, yeah, better have pictures. HelloFresh is 30% cheaper than shopping at a local grocery store. Plus, you skip the checkout lines. Winning. It's pretty amazing, guys.
It is somehow cheaper.
Yeah. Somehow.
And at least in this family, because we just shop meal by meal, and then it's so, so expensive. Yeah.
The holidays can be hectic, guys, but HelloFresh helps keep things simple with recipes and ingredients that cut out grocery shopping and limit meal prep time so you can spend more of the festive season with friends and family. Guys, that's pretty incredible, all right? We are so focused on babies at the NICU and our son here at home and the holidays coming up and everything is just so hectic that we are so grateful for HelloFresh. It's making life a lot easier for us to have meals already ready to go and easy and quick to make during a time that is really hectic. So we strongly recommend. We think you guys will love it. And if you want to check it out, go to HelloFresh.com/14relax and use code 14relax for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. Hello, presents? Who doesn't love presents?
Happy holidays.
Yeah, go to HelloFresh.com/14relax. Use code 14relax for up to 14 free meals and free gifts. Do it. Try out America's number one meal kit today. All right, we left at a pretty crazy moment there. They're about to cut me open in your story, so
they
let's
were
continue.
About to.
But we had to talk about HelloFresh, of course. So let's.
Yeah, well, that's where a natural commercial break would happen, anyways.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk
very
about
Grey's Anatomy of
cutting
us.
Open my body and pulling out humans.
Oh, let's. Do we have to?
No, we don't have to. We can talk about something else.
From my perspective, then, or glorious, amazing doctor kind of peeked over the top of the curtain and said, "It's what's happening." And I remember her saying, "Is you were in a place?" She was like, "It's about to start happening. Don't worry, I just pinched you really hard. You can't feel anything."
Okay, yeah, I remember.
So
that.
I was like, "Oh, that's nice." She pinched her; she didn't feel it, so she certainly won't feel
cutting
you
organs.
Open and like rearranging your organs. And then we were kind of like chatting at first. Mm-hmm. Like we were kind of, it was
me and you.
Yeah, we were like a little bit. Like you were. Not well, but like it wasn't like super dark. Like me and you were talking, we were saying, "This is crazy, isn't this? Can you believe?" Because it happened so fast. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really get to check in with each other before mm-hmm. then it was actually happening when they said it was going to happen. When we thought we were going to have 2 days mm-hmm. to say like, "This is crazy." So now we're saying this is crazy as it's starting
They're
to happen.
Cutting my body open.
And the hardest part for me was that like now I could see her whole face and I could see, you know, it was just so intense, man. And like before it was happening, I was just thinking to myself like, okay, just got to not pass out. That's my job. Don't pass out during this. Mm-hmm. Like, so they don't have to worry about me too. Like, and she's not worried about me and I can be there for her. Don't pass out. Like when it actually started happening, I wasn't worried about that at all. Never mm-hmm. for a second. I like knew I wouldn't and I could be there for you and do whatever my version of I was supposed to do then, mm-hmm. which because it was still kind of like absolute chaos. But
did it seem like to you, because this, it seemed like this to me, there were a billion people in that room, first of all.
Yeah.
But also, did it not feel like crazy chaos, tension? Like everyone seemed panicked.
Everyone was panicked. I don't know if you noticed that, but everyone was absolutely panicked because these things are very, almost always planned. Mm-hmm. This is a major surgery. And for twins, they need the team that they would have for a single baby. They need double that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they have two
and these
doctors.
Are preemie, so they had NICU nurses there too.
And then a whole, and then NICU team. But yeah, but they needed two NICU teams, which composes, that was three people. So there was three people for each baby. That's just like the NICU teams, emergency teams, and then all the nurses. And then the two actual doctors like doing
the surgery.
This stuff. So there's so many people in there. And also they weren't set up for it because, I mean, these people are all great. They're all so incredible at their jobs. I'm so grateful for them. But they, like a lot of time I saw them looking for like specific instruments and tools they needed and they were not there. Because a lot of the attention and frustration and kind of of them in the room was that they were like, where's the thing? Why? There's no things in here. And then like digging through drawers, like especially with when they Maisie. Were dealing with Maisie, I could tell that like, I guess maybe we'll get to that as a whole other.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I just remember before you got in the room, even the chaos that was in that room that.
Yeah. They weren't ready.
I was.
As we weren't ready.
Like the most scared I've ever been in my life. Like I was absolutely terrified. It was.
Our
awful.
Doctor was calm and cool.
She was fine. But. Yeah. But I will say that I just was stabbed in the spine and I looked around the room and I remember having the feeling before the drugs even kicked in, I remember having the feeling of absolute panic. Don't have a panic attack, but also I need to tell them it's all cool. Like I wanted to be like, hey guys, it's all good. Everyone calm down. Yeah. I had the urge to tell everyone to calm down because they were freaking me out more with how panicked they seemed.
I don't know the staffing situation typically on a Saturday morning. I'm so grateful that like when your water broke, I was able to get in touch with our doctor because I had her cell phone number and also like, and I knew she had told me, she's like, I a lot of times don't get service where I live. So just text me and I'll eventually get it.
Yeah. When my water broke, he goes, I could call our doctor. And he said, should I text her?
I texted her and called her like essentially at the same exact time just to make sure that she knew. And she answered on a Saturday morning and she was in town. And she got to the hospital before us. It's just like, we're so lucky that she wasn't like, oh, I'm in Ojai. You know what I mean?
Well, at the spa or something. When I first talked to her about being our doctor, I said, and if you are not able to be there, if they come on a holiday, they're due around Christmas. So if you're busy, who's going to
be there?
Yeah. Oh, she was like, not even letting me finish a sentence. She's like, I will deliver your baby.
But I'm just saying like, what if it's a Saturday morning. Maybe she went to wine country with her lovely husband. You know, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
she was there before us. But yeah, they were not set up for it, like technically. And so it was a lot of people who had 10 minutes notice to sprint to that wing of the hospital and do this thing. Cause I've now seen them around the hospital a lot for the last 2 weeks and they have stations and stuff that are not close to there. And they're doing lots of other things. And I've heard kind of codes be read out over the loudspeaker. I think it was an on hands on deck situation that was double. Mm-hmm. And it was like a bit of chaos. And so that's all happening around us. Like the turning point for me that I kind of remember what I didn't expect is, so you're flat on this table and there's a curtain here, like you're, you know, essentially your neck, like just below the bottom of your neck. And I'm just can only see your head. But then I could see you kind of like violently being jolted around. And I know
they were digging.
Oh my gosh. This violent jolting is four hands of these two doctors on the inside of my wife's abdominal cavity. It's hilarious.
Pulling out babies.
And it was the way you're moving was kind of violent. And I was just like, I will never.
I don't remember being jolted around.
And you're just like looking up at me like this. And I was just like, everything's fine. I just kept saying, everything's okay. Everything's fine.
So they pull out Wesley.
And they pull out Wesley and he started crying. We knew that because of when we first heard him start crying. And when I tell you that two adult human beings immediately both burst into sobbing tears in
really,
unison,
truly.
Like, how did that,
burst. Like there was immediately like waterfalls of tears coming out of
us. I don't understand that, you know, as an actor, a lot of times for like an audition or a job, it's like it says in the script, like the character cries. And it's like a big thing for actors to try and figure out like how to cry, or fear of, well, what if I can't get there on the day, which has certainly happened to me for an audition for a job. I was able to like weep in the audition and then I got the job and then I'm on set for the day and I just couldn't
really
get there. Yeah. Cause like when sometimes like you just can't get wet, as we call it in the business.
Never say that again.
What?
Move on.
Okay. but like, so it's so strange to me that I don't know, that somewhere deep in there, like there's that.
You hear that baby cry.
That physical response just so incredible. Mm-hmm. And then he's got a team of three people and he's kind of like on a table over my shoulder. And then it was like us checking in with each other. Like he's crying. He's okay. He's okay. You know what I mean? Me going, looking at him, okay, he's okay. And And then it became really bad because then we didn't hear her.
Yeah.
Correct.
I knew she came out because they said, it's a girl. She is, here's the girl. And they talked about how she had peed.
Right.
She came out and she peed.
She peed basically into your...
I guess. I don't know where she peed, but she peed somewhere and they were all talking about her pee. And they talked about how big and thick her cord was, but there was no sounds of her crying.
Right.
Yeah, which was mortifying.
And then she was brought kind of really the farthest corner of the room with like three...
Was it another? I feel like it was another room. Like, I feel like it
was.
Like a
hall. There was like then like this little like kind of enclave and then another room. Like, she was kind of far away from you.
I didn't see her around the corner.
And so I got you who's going through this. I got little Wesley there and now Maisie far away. And I'm kind of back and forth with you. And then all of a sudden, like, I didn't realize like that they had brought Maisie over there. Like, I hadn't even seen her yet. I know hadn't heard her cry. And then
I saw her, like,
you and our doctor
legs,
were like she's over
and...
there. She's over there. And I went over there and there was three grown men, doctors, heroes. You know what I mean? Around her. I don't know. This is so hard to talk about. I don't know. Is this something you'd share or would share? Like, is it?
Yeah, but I mean, I've talked about how when she came out, she was purple and she wasn't breathing.
Yeah, because I told you that because with my eyes, I saw it all happen and it was very, 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 it was like the most scared I've ever been in my life. It's like realizing that like she hasn't turned the corner yet. She's not okay. She may not be. And then looking back and I could see you just on the staring table and just your eyes staring at me. And I remember I gave you a fake thumbs. Like I gave you a thumbs up. Like, everything's okay over here. Like, a totally lying to you. Like, it was not okay in that moment. I don't want to like physically describe how like she was being handled to kind of like get her. But I know that like I inserted myself in a situation to just ask, like, I couldn't help it. Like, is she going to be okay? And the answer I was given was not of complete confidence. It was like, we got to get this guy away from here right now. And you know what I mean? A kind of like superficial, we just need her to turn a corner was what he said, you know? And that was.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, we just need her to turn a corner.
Yeah. And the way he said, I mean, there's, you know, all the social cues within that brief sentence were, I mean, it's something, I'll never forget, but.
Yeah. Well, she is okay for the listeners.
It's a comedy podcast.
She is okay. And she has turned a corner and she did turn a corner that day. They just needed help breathing. She wasn't ready to come out. Wesley was like, let's get out of here. Let's go party. And Maisie was like, what are you talking about? My little like sack in mommy's body is super cool. Why would you make me come out? Because
she was like, screw all these machines. Like,
they both had their own waters. His water is broken. His umbilical cord was coming out. He needed to come out. But hers was all intact. Her water was not broken and she was just sleeping up there in her little womb. And so this was shocking to her. He had already started going through the like labor process, you know, like I was having contractions and his water's broke and he was already halfway out. And she was like, what is going on? I was taking a nap and now I'm out of here. So she is good now.
It makes sense. And are they good at their jobs? Which like, man, I cower in comparison. Any stress I've ever felt about any job I've ever had, like, I just can't imagine.
No way. There's
like,
no way.
I don't know what it takes to be someone who's like, I do this for like a living. Yeah. That's so wild.
They're amazing. They're really amazing. I love hearing you talk about this. I love talking about this with you. It is time to have another thank you to our next sponsor. So we're going to take a little bit of a break from the story again to say thanks to our next sponsor of the day, which is, of course, Canva. Making content is obviously an essential part of what I do and also what we do with this podcast to keep this show going, but it hasn't always been a seamless creative process. I always feel like I have so many things to do and don't have enough time to do it all, which is why I'm so excited that Canva decided to sponsor us. Canva Pro is going to help us out to design anything like a pro on any device. It can help you guys out too if you want to check it out. It is super, super awesome. It is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. You can choose from thousands of templates that are easy to customize or start from scratch. Canva Pro has endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more that add personality and edge to whatever you're designing. No more paying for images, guys. This is such a huge library of images and tools and features. There's so much stuff that you can choose from.
You ever bought
here.
An image? Images are expensive.
Yes, I have. They're really expensive.
Like super expensive.
Yeah, when you have to buy stuff for like your small business or like when we did Haters Back Off, like buying like stock footage. Oh my God, it was so expensive.
It's really expensive.
Yeah, it is. But not anymore. Designing together has never been easier. Sharing, editing, and commenting in real time. Canva Pro helps you stay organized on the same page and on top of team projects. No more misplaced files or tedious back and forth. Plus, you and four teammates can unlock everything Canva Pro has to offer for just $12.99 a month. With Canva Pro's Content Planner, you'll save time planning, creating, and posting social media content too. Pause scheduled posts and edit them at any time. This is incredible. It's incredible.
In any time?
At any time. It's really awesome. If you guys want to check it out, you can design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use my promo code. Just go to canva.me/relax to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/relax. canva.me/relax. Alrighty, so this story is fascinating.
It is.
It is. So. It really is. And I think the thing most people wanted to know from you, Stocklin, stocks. May I call you Stocks?
Please call me Stock. it's I like it because it like reminds me of when all, like literally all my friends, like everyone in high school.
It's cute.
Call me that.
I love that our kids have your last name. Maybe someone will call them Stocks.
Probably.
So people have been asking about the NICU experience because I've been talking a lot about the NICU experience and how hard it has been.
Yeah.
So that was basically like the birth experience. I mean, there's way more to it. Then we were in the hospital for a few days. It was really, really hard. Really just crazy experience. It was really hard. We were in the exact same room we were in with Flynn when Flynn was born, recovering. And it was weird to be in that room without babies and have to go up to the NICU in a wheelchair every day.
Yeah.
But I will say, even though it was like the hardest few days of our lives, we like somehow in this traumatic experience had like a really nice time together. I know it sounds weird.
Well, I don't know how else you cope.
I feel like
with something like that. Cause it like, I think you can be like sobbing 1 minute and then laughing then like the next.
Yeah.
Like you can do both.
I think that you and I
to cope in that circumstance of being stuck in a hospital room for 4 days
right.
after having babies but not able to have the babies and seeing them all tiny and hooked up to machines and then we're down there just kind of stuck there watching JoJo on Dancing with the Stars or whatever, you know, whatever, like just talking like all night in this hospital room. Like it was this weird, like I was like, this is the best worst Airbnb we've ever had kind of thing.
It's whenever you and I are, I think, a great match, a good couple. But in moments like that, it really shows like how great we are together. Cause like we do so well in like traumatic or intense or scary times is like, I feel like when we're the strongest, I feel like in times where my other people might fall apart is when our relationship, I always feels like the strongest. And that's how I felt that whole time. I was like, I just felt so lucky to be with you. And
yeah, we both have like a crisis mode that is like deep within us that like there's, you can't access it unless an actual crisis. But when it happens, when there's an earthquake, like we both fly up the stairs, like we fly. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's, it's those kinds of things.
Fly up the stairs to our son, by the way.
Right, so. Yeah.
Not just going upstairs.
I'm thinking of a specific moment that actually happened. Like, that's what popped into my head, like that. And when your water broke the first time, you know what I mean? And then again, the same exact unprepared thing happening again.
We had you know, this time at the hospital together, and it was hard and scary and sad and frustrating at times, but like we had such a great time together, I feel.
Yeah, it's a strange thing to kind of describe.
Right.
Like it's hard to, yeah.
But now,
to give a definition to like what that was for us.
Right.
Yeah.
As we're recording this podcast, the babies are 2 weeks old. So this all happened 2 weeks ago today.
They are today.
And so people have asked what your experience is, because I've shown my side, which is like sometimes I'm fine and sometimes I fall apart sobbing. It just depends on what minute it is of the day, because it's hard to leave your babies at the hospital. And so people have asked what it is like for you.
I think I texted my parents yesterday, like, because I like to give them like updates every day if I can. And I said, the babies are doing good. Colleen and I are melted emotionally, but taking it day by day. And I just typed that and sent it, and I was just like, oh yeah, I do feel melted emotionally. Mm-hmm. That's how I would say it is. It's not great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about the NICU. I'd heard about it. And now I'm there
every day
for hours every day. And I feel like I've discovered this place where there are these incredible people doing this incredible job. And it's a lot.
It's, I hope no one takes this the wrong way, but we describe it as the worst and best place in the world. It's the place I want to be the most all day, but also the place I don't want to be at yeah. all is like how we describe it.
It's the best worst place.
It's like all we want to do is be there with them, but we also don't want to be there at all. Like it's like a weird feeling when you're there. You're just, I don't want to be here, but I also want to be here. It's really crazy. And we're so grateful for everyone who works there. But
yeah, and that they're okay and they're doing okay and they're, you know, making
progress here.
Progress.
Slow progress.
I'm grateful for that. But yeah, it's what is I never thought I'd be doing this. It's hard to talk about right now. I feel like I'll be better to talk about it when this experience is over. Mm-hmm. But right now we're like, I feel like in this kind of peak throes of it. Like even though we knew this was a possibility and we knew this would happen if they came early, and that traditionally twins do come early, and we were kind of on baby watch from week 30.
29.
Yeah, we were. We were told if we could just make it to week 30 and then, well, you, and you did, and then 2 weeks more. And we had these discussions with our doctor, what it was like there, what would be happening there. But still, then it happens and it's happening. And it's like, you just reminded me like, holy, it's been 2 weeks of that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be weeks more mm-hmm. and more, you know what I mean? And hopefully sooner rather than later, but
it's seeming like it's going to be later.
Yeah. I will say this, like, you know, like there's many security guards that work at that hospital that you have to check in with at two different levels to get into to even get into the hospital. And they all know us. They mm-hmm. know where we're going. This is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And they've seen us so much that they know who we are. They yeah. know where we're going. And then there's many more layers of security, and they all know us mm-hmm. and they all know where we're going. And then there are many different amazing, wonderful nurses mm-hmm. that work there, and we all know them by name and mm-hmm. have opinions of them, and they're
good opinions. Good opinions.
Well, we have power rankings, so yeah. And then there's physical therapists and doctors, and there's all sorts of great, wonderful people. These are all people we know by name now and mm-hmm. talk about, and it's just our life right now. Yeah. And when I'm not there, I want to be there, and when I'm there, I'm so happy to be there and in the presence of our kids, but like also like hate that I'm yeah. there. Hate it.
Yeah, I know.
And then we come home and I'm like, I just am constantly picturing them there and what's going on there, yeah, thinking about there and or recalling there. Mm-hmm.
It's this weird like guilt that like
What is it? It's an intensive care unit for very little babies. It's mm-hmm. like I don't want to be there.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been pretty brutal. But we're getting through it, and we just have to get through like a month more.
Yeah.
Ish, we'll see how long it takes them to like be ready to come
home.
Yeah,
we go there and we do what that we do anything we can to like help them, because apparently there's things that these doctors tell us can help them, and if that's hold them against our skin and sing to them and talk to them and touch
them
and read to them and
yeah, and that's what we do.
Damn it, we're gonna do every little thing that we can to help them.
You're gonna make me cry.
I'm crying.
We're very emotional. It's hard. It's really, really hard.
You asked me.
I know.
I'll tell you. If you ask me, I'll tell you. Nobody else is listening.
They're all listening. Give me some of that wine. It's very hard. Yeah. So they're like, you know, you need to bring milk. And wow, have I brought milk? I'm like, when you find something
do your people here on the internet know that like you are like milk queen?
They know I make a lot of milk.
They told you literally stop bringing milk. We have no room in our hospital grade walk-in freezer for milk anymore.
Yeah, they told me to stop. And today I haven't brought milk for a few days. And today I asked the nurse of the babies. I was like, do you guys need more? Like, how are you guys on milk? Because our freezer is getting full.
Yeah.
And she looked at me with eyes of horror. Did you see her eyes?
Yeah.
Her eyes got so big. She, you know, we're all wearing masks, so all you can see is her eyes. And her eyes got triple the size. And she's like, no, do not bring more milk. I was like, okay, sorry. So I'm banned from bringing milk to the hospital.
Well, that's good.
So much.
You're blessed. I'm very milky.
I'm very milky. I make a lot of milk, but I think like you hear like there's something you can do and you are like, I have to do anything I can. Yeah. And I feel very grateful. My body is like making milk, although they've also had formula too. Formula's awesome too. Like I'm not knocking like that. They have formula and milk.
Of course not. Yeah.
They actually need the formula, by the way, to get the calorie amount.
Yeah, there's
a
certain amount of like calorie percentage.
So both are wonderful. But yeah, anything you can do. Like we went out and bought books for them because they said reading. So we made a trip to the bookstore and Eric started reading The Princess Bride to them yesterday.
I did. I didn't realize that the character in that movie was spelled with a T.
Wesley.
Yeah. Not that we were naming him after that character. I just was like, oh, Wesley, like in that movie too, right?
Yeah.
That's Wesley.
You pronounce it Wesley, but yes, Wesley.
Right. I never knew it had a T in it. Our son
says
not a T.
Maisie is spelled usually with an IE at the end, and we're spelling it with a Y. So we're kind of just quirky people, guys, I guess. Like we just spell our kids' names all
weird.
They're
going to have the most normal names like when they're in high school. Everyone's going to be named like, you know,
I saw a lot of comments that were like, they're such unique names. And when I tell people their name is Wesley, people are like, oh, that's cool. And when I say Maisie, they're like, what a unique name. I'm like, is Maisie a unique name?
I just remember when we were talking about your middle name, May, and then you came up with that version of it as like a first name. I just remember immediately being like, oh, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, you were like immediately like, yeah, that's her name, Maisie.
I just love that. Yeah.
Maisie Joe. I love it too. It's awesome. Yeah. Oh, Maisie Joe. They're awesome. They're doing really good. And, it's time for another ad break. Sorry, guys. It feels so weird doing ad breaks in this episode.
It is like...
But I am so grateful for them. Like, I'm so grateful that people...
Yeah, it's what it is.
It's a podcast. We got sponsors, guys. But we...
And who's... No, you go ahead.
Okay, I will. But we are so grateful for our sponsors, and we're so lucky to have them all, and especially lucky to be sponsored by Indeed. You're putting in the work to better yourself. Why not put the same effort into the hiring process at work? It doesn't take much. It just takes Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all, attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process so you can find talent with the skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. With Indeed Instant Match, over 90% of employers get quality candidates as soon as they sponsor their job post, according to Indeed data, which we all know is, of course,
I'm thinking about the best. Indeed. And I'm thinking about, like, I want to use it. I'm like, what we would use it for?
Mm-hmm.
And like, when we start our, we're going to start a theater camp.
Yes, we are.
When we start our theater camp.
Yeah. Is that we hire?
Like, we just have, like, we just get crazy creative having the ideas, but then we hire someone on Indeed to actually, like, put it together.
That's
right?
The way to do it. That's what we're doing.
I think that's where we would find quality candidates and match with them very fast.
Exactly where we're going to do it. Candidates you invite to apply through Instant Match are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than those who only see it in search, according to Indeed data. So get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/relax. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/relax. Indeed.com/relax. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I would call it just Theater Kid, like your shirt. Like, call the camp that.
That's what we're going to do.
Theater Kid is like,
it's decided.
Theater Camp.
Theater Kid
Camp. We already got the logo.
Theater Camp with a K. So it has been a long, interesting episode of just hearing your side of things. Is there more that you have perspective on from this entire experience, or are you not wanting to talk about it anymore? Because
it's not that I don't want to talk about it, comment on it. I'm just so in it right now.
Yeah.
That it's... I'm fine. I'm like at a loss for words. Yeah. Like, how to articulate it. When I am looking back on it, I don't know. Maybe that'll be easier.
We can talk about something else
when we're past this. Okay.
We can talk about how
it's your birthday tomorrow.
Well, when we're recording this, it is. But once this episode comes out, it will have been my birthday 4 days prior or something like that. But it is my birthday tomorrow.
Well, in the room I'm in the real world.
It is my birthday
tomorrow. It's your birthday
tomorrow. And I don't care. I think for the first time in my life, I do not care.
You're a pretty big birthday person.
I'm a very big birthday person. Yeah. I love birthdays. Anyone's birthday. It makes me excited. I love birthdays. I love celebrating people and having any excuse to get together and have a theme. Mm-hmm.
You normally have your big childhood cancer fundraiser on your birthday?
And I'm still planning on doing a childhood cancer fundraiser this year. Just right now, it's tentatively going to be December 4th, just like a live stream.
Oh, good.
But it just depends on the babies and what's going on with them. So we'll see if that happens. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. It's just a matter of when.
I know
so
you are. Of
the link
you are.
Is already, like, the donate page is already up.
What is the donate page?
Well, I don't have the, like, URL memorized, but
well, what do people look for if they want to go?
It's in, like, the donate bio ahead of time of, like, all my videos right now. So I'll put it in this one too.
Do that. There you go.
If you guys want to donate to childhood cancer, you can. But yeah, my birthday's tomorrow. We don't have plans. We're just gonna hang out here. I've invited my family over tomorrow night to I want holiday music because that always makes me really happy. Mm-hmm. So I just want, like, Christmas music and Christmas movies and, like, hot chocolate. And, you know, I don't even like hot chocolate, but it just makes me think of Christmas.
It's so great. We found some discount chocolate spoons at Marshall's Home Goods.
I'm sure they're 3 years expired.
Last night. Of course they are.
I do not care.
How else would they get there?
Yeah, that's true. We don't have really plans. My only goal for tomorrow is to hang out with Flynn in the morning. Mm-hmm. And to hold both of my babies tomorrow at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry.
I got to do that today.
It's great, isn't it?
It's
terrifying.
It's the best, worst thing also. Like, I had held them both at the same time very briefly during, like, a kind of switching process between me and you. They have, like, 4 monitor stickers stuck to their mm-hmm. skin. And then they have
a
feeding tube in their nose. And then on their foot, they have
monitors and cords.
Another monitor, like it's like monitoring their heart rate, respiratory rate, oxygen level, all these things. So they're very plugged in. And so to hold them, they also come with the cords. They're not Bluetooth.
Well,
unfortunately.
And they're, you know, 34-week old babies, essentially. Like, oh my gosh, Eric just spilled a bunch of wine on the computer.
Why would you say that? Why would you not just let it go?
Because it was obvious something dramatic happened in this room. Are you not going to move the keyboard and the mouse?
Why would I move it? Nothing's
because there's
happening.
Wine all over it.
It's not wine.
Okay.
It is
Yeah, I know. I just watched you. Is it going to get all of our equipment?
No.
Oh, God. Okay. So maybe we're going to cut this episode short to make sure that our... Yeah, because there's wine on everything. Is it all right if we finish this episode, or is our computer going to explode?
Nothing's on fire at this point.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, the babies are definitely attached to monitors and cords and cables, but also they are what a 34-week fetus looks like, because that's what they are. They're babies that are 34 weeks old gestation. And so they don't have a lot of strength. They're very skinny, very tiny, very bony. And you really have to make sure you are holding and supporting their head and their neck and their back.
Yeah, their
and
head,
body.
Their neck. You've ever like held a baby and people are like, support the head. Like these.
I mean, this is like times a million.
Yeah. And so to hold one,
it's complicated.
It's complicated. To hold two, you don't have the things that you need to support. It's very like, so it's so wonderful. We had two babies at the same time. We had twins, but to hold them both at the same time, I feel like every muscle, tendon, like every part of you tenses, you know what I mean? And freezes, and then eventually locks and goes numb. Like it's so,
yeah.
When we're home, like it'll be so much more relaxed and great. And you know what I mean? But like when you're in the,
NICU in the chairs,
in a hospital room in chair, and like, you're great, but they always give you the comfy chair.
Yeah. Well, that's because I'm recovering from a huge surgery. Well, not because I'm a mom.
It is because you're a mom. The dad's...
It's because I'm recovering from a C-section. They're going to give me the...
In these situations, I will have to say that like...
I'm sorry your wisdom teeth out, but I think a C-section,
it's not
C-section
the same thing.
Gets you the nice,
you know,
chair.
You've joked with me like husbands are treated a bit... We're a bit peasants in this whole system.
No offense, as you should be in that because I just had abdominal surgery.
I'm just saying, I know you did, but like, they're like, to me, like through the whole process, they're like, give him some juice. He doesn't lay down on the ground, like idiot. You know what I mean? Here's your gown. And then it's like, we're in a hospital room for 4 nights in 5 days, and they bring you 3 meals a day. Delicious meals.
Oh, please.
Wonderful.
As if you want that.
And they're constantly bringing you water and stuff like that. And I know, yeah, you had major surgery.
Oh,
you carried babies for 32 weeks.
But you had your wisdom teeth.
They didn't even look at me. Like people in and out of the room the whole time. They're never like, do you need some water too? Or like, would you like to eat food in the past 5 days? I'm not saying that I need it. I've survived. But I'm just saying, like, and then when it comes to like,
when you say they always give you the comfy chair, it's because they're like, you just had a C-section, sit down in the comfy chair.
I know, but I'm just saying the stark contrast between the chair they offer you, which is a Lazy Boy brand name recliner, versus the wooden fold-out chair from the 1960s with no armrest.
From like a church youth group.
Right, from a church youth group in the 60s. They offer me, yeah, that they bought it in a state sale. Like, is what they offer me. It's, and I'm just like... Like it's, I'm in pain.
Yeah, I know.
I have a weird, I think I somehow was popped out of rib.
Oh my God.
I will use the rest of this podcast to complain about my pain if you let me.
I have to show you this TikTok. I know I say that all the time, but it's so funny. And it is literally what we're talking about right now. It's a woman who's, I have to show it. It's so funny. And now I'm talking about it. I'm not going to show it to the people listening to the podcast. But anyway. This all started because I said all I want for my birthday is to hold both babies at the same time.
Oh, right. Yes, that's a wonderful idea.
So, I mean, all I really want for my birthday is for them to be healthy enough to come home. But that's definitely not going to happen. They're very healthy for their age, but they have to have eaten on their own for 24 hours. Mm. And so far, Wesley's had like the smallest amount of milk from a bottle and the rest is all feeding tube. And Maisie's had none. So they're definitely not coming home tomorrow. That's all I really want.
I know. And even when they were like, it's going to be like
a month
or two, like, you know what I mean? And we were like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But like in the back of your head, you're like, they'll be home.
They're going to come home on Thanksgiving. When I had them, I thought like when we had the C-section 2 weeks ago, I was like, all right, yeah. They'll be home around Christmas time, but really they'll be home at Thanksgiving. Right. Like, that's what I thought.
I know. Somehow and, I like, still like do a little. Yeah.
Yeah. My mind is just like totally lying to myself. And then
it's a survival instinct, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very strange. Like, mm-hmm. your rational brain does not take over in these situations.
It kind of the same thing happened. This is a weird comparison, but like with the pandemic, very weird comparison, but just go with me here. When it was like, 2 weeks of quarantine. Yeah, I can handle that. Okay. And then when it got to like, oh, we're going to have 3 more months of this, I fell apart. I was like, that's impossible.
But somehow you also knew it wasn't going to be 3 more months. It was going to be like the rest
of
your life.
I hoped it would be, you know, I was like, it's not actually going to be 3 more months. It's going to be another week. And then when you get that realization of like, oh, it's going to be like this for a year, you fall apart. And so I have those, I think that's my big fall apart moments, is like lying to myself so that I can get through the day.
Yeah.
And saying like, they're going to be home in a week. And then when I have the moments of realization of like, they will not be home for a month or two, when those moments settle in and I realize, oh, we have to do this every day, go to that hospital every day and see your baby's hooked up to machines every day and miss out on time with our toddler every day for a month or two, it sounds impossible. And so I fall apart. And I think I lie to myself that it'll be sooner because I can handle that. You know what I mean?
It's a fair analogy for our situation right now,
but,
I would say.
That's all I want for my birthday, and it's not gonna happen. So we were talking earlier today how we need to celebrate your birthday and my birthday later, like when the babies come home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the plan.
And then we're gonna go on a honeymoon.
Yeah, someday we'll go on a honeymoon. We never went on a honeymoon. We were supposed to go last summer, and then the pandemic happened. And then we could have gone. Well, I still don't think we would have traveled this year.
I knew this was going to happen. I don't know. It's so crazy. But like,
we're going to be, I think we're going to be 75 years old. We're going to be 75 years old being like, when are we going on that honeymoon? We'll go someday.
Someday. I mean, people we know are going on vacation. It seems like every other day.
I know.
But
what's
us, it's
with
like,
that?
But us, it's like, I don't know.
Well, but it's, I don't know. I'm not getting into that discussion. I'm not going to talk about that.
About what?
About how my feelings on people vacationing.
Well, it's fine. Take a vacation, I guess.
I guess. I'm not going to talk about that. Okay. Anyway, I don't know if this episode is 2 hours long or if it's 30 minutes long, but hopefully there's some content in here that you guys have enjoyed listening to.
How do you feel about the garage set?
I like it, except for the fact that it comes with mosquitoes.
There was just the one.
Well,
did you like how the water heater kept kicking on?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys could hear that, but that definitely kept happening. I personally prefer the podcast room.
Mm-hmm.
I like the look of it in here.
Yeah. I don't think there's any ventilation.
There's not. I feel very stuffy.
It's like stale.
Yeah, it's stale and stuffy.
Just us and all your old tour suitcases.
And Haters Back Off costumes.
And props.
And bug bites all over. Like, I'm covered in mosquito bites right now. And I really need to pump. So we're going to go. Thanks for listening, everyone. We love you.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
Yeah, we were off
ending.
For a week.
Oh. We're ending the episode. You can't end an episode by saying we're back. Okay, goodbye, everyone.
I'm getting good at this, guys. Episode 100.
Goodbye.
Here we come.
Goodbye.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.